Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course.
But,
that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football. What you want? We've got a mighty organism, but it makes your race glisten. Our voice is about the game. And you know, we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our mountain work matters. Well, will you listen to the podcast too? And you rant about the podcast too. Just a thought, we're German and love the matches, and kiss us in the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to the podcast too? And you love the podcast too.
That is right. This is Jeremy Moss here. We'll be joined by our good buddy Chris Hondras momentarily. He had to step away for a second before we get going. But this is the MWC Connection show here. We're starting to do these bad boys once, maybe twice a week. And last week we did our preview show, the Mountain West, our somewhat preview show, some very early predictions with Matthew K., Chris, myself. And as always, you can find all of our shows at MWCConnection.com. as well as iTunes, Stitch Radio, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud. And it looks like Chris is here with us now, so it looks like he's here with us. But that's where you can listen to our shows. And today's show, we're talking about the Air Force Falcons, the Flyboys.
Yeah, excellent choice. Obviously, the reason why we're starting with excellent choice is because we're going in alphabetical order. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Chris is here. He decided to join us about 10 seconds late. I told everybody you're just lazy and didn't want to show up, but that's okay.
So that's going to be Doc off my pay, right?
Nah, I'm just messing with you. So, talking Air Force, we may or may not have a pretty cool guest tonight. We'll know in about 15 minutes. So, in the meantime, it's me and Chris here. We will, discuss some Air Force, some other things. Before we get to that, it is the off season. It is still the first week of June. There's still a lot of time before football comes out, and we're talking about it now.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's a little news we want to talk about. You saw the check the Boise State got cut for the Mountain West, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They got just almost $4 million. Not too bad. And, sorry, I'm trying to fix my mic. That's why I'm stuttering every other word. No, yeah, the Mountain West, they got the second most ever, I believe, payout for about $30 million for the whole league. There's the $29 million. There's a distributed payout for if you're on ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, you get a few extra bucks. So, Boise State received 3.7 overall. 2.2 was just in TV money alone. So that's not too bad. That's a decent amount of money there. It's not Big 12 money, but better than before.
My favorite news that's coming this week is has anybody been paying attention to the O'Bannon law?
That's a pretty big deal.
It is an absolutely huge deal. But how's this one? So, talking yesterday, the NCAA takes a strong stand, and this is the lawyer's argument for the NCAA, takes a strong stand against other people profiting off student athletes. That, my friends, is the absolute definition of irony.
Where's my laugh track? I should have one here ready to play.
I mean, considering they're the ones who are settling because, oh, right, EA actually wanted to pay the players a small amount for using their image and likeness.
That's right. I saw that. I was kind of surprised by that.
But the NCAA wouldn't allow it because amateurs.
Quote. Air quotes. You got to say air quotes. Amateurs.
Air quote. Air quote. Sorry. Air quote. Well, they can't see the quote anyway.
That's why you say, that's why you say air quotes. Amateurs. It, but
$100 million.
Yes. Then there's the $40 million that are, I guess that's the part of it settled for the video game part. But if you think about it, that's not a ton of money because it goes from 2003 until current. And I guess even if you're a current player and you get the payout, you're not going to, like, this is a smart move by the NCAA. You are not going to be punished for getting money for being in the video game for the past couple seasons if you're still a current player. But it ranges from, I think, what, $50-something to about $900 per year you're featured in the game. So that part's settled, but the big deal now, it's all about TV money. So how much should the backup point guard or third string safety get for being on a Big 12 team that plays on ABC this week? That's what the Ed O'Bannon case is about now.
Yeah. Well, and the other one you want to talk about TV money, but the schools are now selling generic jerseys instead of players.
I saw that. Yeah, and the best part about that...
Sorry, Boise State fans, you can't buy your number 11 jerseys anymore.
I like how Arizona comes out and says, oh, we had this in the works for years. Really? Nobody's going in to buy a number 18 Texas A&M jersey. They're buying number 2 for Johnny Football. I get their point, but still, then they say they'll make $3 to $4 per jersey. You know what? Those jerseys, what do they run? At least $50 or so? Minimum?
Depends.
Like the official,
replica,
the good ones?
Replica you can get for $59.99. But like, a 12 will cost you $89.99.
Yeah, and you're telling me they're only getting $4 per jersey? Yeah, right.
That's absolutely insane.
That
I'm sorry. The only so I don't know where you stand on the whole jerseys argument. As an adult man wearing jerseys or not. But the only jerseys nowadays that I will wear are soccer jerseys that with, you know, no name on back. And, you know, baseball jerseys with no name on back.
I don't own any jerseys, but those are two closest ones I'd wear. Because think about it, soccer jerseys are pretty much a T-shirt. Like, well, some of them have
a damn comfortable T-shirt at that.
Yeah, their college shirt. Baseball is close to that. Depends on the style for baseball. That may work a little bit, but I don't want to see a grown man wearing a hockey jersey that goes to his knees or a whatever
hockey
NFL.
Hockey jerseys are okay. Once again, no. Once it goes on to the name on the back.
No. No, speaking of hockey jerseys, you saw the U.S. national team jersey at the game versus Turkey on Sunday, right?
Which jersey?
The SEAL Team 6 jersey.
Yes, that was a fantastic jersey.
Excellent. Yeah, number 6.
That was the United States national team.
Yes, that was when they played Turkey, I think, in New Jersey this past weekend.
Yes.
So that, yeah, jerseys, no, I don't really care for them. I may wear a soccer jersey if I ever to buy one, but I haven't yet. But I know you're a scarf guy, a jersey guy. Real Salt Lake, I should go into those jerseys.
The ugly new ones?
I don't know what their jerseys are, sorry to say.
Oh, they're pretty bad. Anyway, that's Chris Andros Talks Jerseys, the segment
of
our show.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, off topic, we're in June. Air Force, there's not a ton to talk about, so let's kind of peruse the headlines a little bit. I guess part of the reason more that jersey, or not jersey, geez, you get me on the jersey talk. No, yeah, pay the players. I'm just reading a couple of things here on our good friends at SB Nation. I haven't read through this yet, but I think one of the best ways, because we'll talk about Air Force later, but we want to spend a little time on this stuff because it's always interesting, and we want to talk about news. What do you think is the best way? My opinion, I like what they put in this article here, that you can put in a trust, that's okay, you get money afterwards, but I completely don't understand why can't they do what Olympic athletes do? You can if you're a model, go model or something, or if you're have a book signing somewhere, be on some random local fast food chain or chain restaurant in your town. Why is that a big deal?
Well, because Olympians aren't students. They represent a country rather than a school.
So
their version of amateur – well, no, hold on. Hear me out here. Their version of amateurism is a complete – different level of the NCAA's quote-unquote amateurism.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So.
Oh, it looks like we have our guest here. Should we just get to that in a minute?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like we have a guest here. Hold on one second. We'll get to that. Let me double check one thing. Mute everybody for just a second while I fix this. That's my computer being weird. Excellent show here. Excellent. Sorry for that brief interruption there. I had to do a quick pause. So that was your silent commercial there. Let's bring in our man here. We're going to talk Air Force football. We'll get to other things later. Do we have our mystery caller on the line with us?
You do.
And you're... Sorry, I don't have your email pulled up. What was your name one more time? It's just so embarrassing.
His name is Mike Simler.
Mike, that's right. Yeah. Go ahead, sorry. Sorry about that, Mike.
No, that's great. Great to talk with you guys.
Yes, sorry. This is obviously the first time we ever met, and my email closed on me when I called up earlier. So we want to thank Rick, who sent the phone to you. So reading from your email, just give us a little bit, like, what's your deal? You seem fairly involved with the Air Force program, at least know people like former Coach DeBerry, and kind of been involved. What's kind of your situation with that at the moment, or kind of how you get along or with the program there with the Air Force?
Well, the connection goes back to my father being the second athletic director at the Academy. Was also the founder of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, and which obviously is a big deal in Service Academy football. So it long family history, literally born into it. Have remained around it my entire life. Sent my son to their football camp. Maintained strong relationships with Coach Ben Martin, who's considered the father of Falcon football, who my dad actually hired. And that was part of that 59 Cotton Bowl team, that defeated 58 team that Air Force put together. And then as it progressed, I was fortunate enough to become close with Coach DeBerry, who, legendary coach, not only at Air Force, obviously, but in college football. And subsequently also became a good friend of, proud to say, of Coach Calhoun. And I've got coaches that are on the team that are former cadets and went on to be officers in the Air Force that my family was called a sponsorship program where you act as a surrogate family. So Coach Ben Miller was one of those coaches, and Ben went on to play for the played in NFL Europe and then played for the Browns. So maintain a strong connection with the Academy that way.
I'd say sounds like you do. That's much closer than we know and what we'll probably ever get. So you pretty much, you're there, like you said, born into it. Geez, you're part of founding the Commander-in-Chief Trophy. So I also want to let you know, we do kind of screw around in here, so we don't take ourselves too seriously. So just to be aware of that, because that, as you can test when me and Chris are going at it, we get a lot of it. So let's just get right to it. Last year was the worst year in, what, very, very long time for Falcons. There's issues at quarterback.
Actually, the worst year ever.
Right? Oh, it was? Okay. I didn't know it was one of the worst. Okay. Yeah, geez, the worst ever. So safe to say it can't be worse this year. At least cross our fingers around that. So let's just get with it. Start at the beginning. Let's start at the top. This is Troy Calhoun's been to bowl game every year except last year. His second losing season. Not to be negative, but if there's a year even comparable to last year, would there be any reason they'd want to let him go? Or would he want to go back to the NFL? Because he turned down Colorado Buffaloes, Denver Broncos a couple years ago. What's his status, or is he even considering it something? I'm talking too much here, but essentially, if they have a bad year, would he leave or get fired? Like four wins or something?
Well, no. I mean, here's this is purely my outlook on it. Troy doesn't call me up and say, "Hey, Mike, these are my plans." But the reality is that he understands he's under pressure. Probably the biggest pressure that he's under, if there's a hot seat involved, is that the one that he's built for himself. He is hyper competitive. And obviously last year was not where he wanted his team to be. But in reference to your direct question, no, I don't think he would be fired, even if he had. And I cannot in any way, shape, or form see what happened last year happening again. Obviously, even if he had four wins, that's an improvement. So, I mean, that's the hard reality of it. So, I don't see him. No, I don't see him leaving on his own. Nor do I see him being fired.
Now, let me ask you something, because this is run-heavy Falcon football. It's mostly triple option. I would say it's a little bit more option-based than triple option-based like the Navy and Army. How does this compare? I mean, we'll talk about offense, the upcoming offense in a moment, but how does this compare to, I guess I would say, the golden age of Falcon football? Is that something that Air Force might need to turn back to in terms of playing style, or have they always had that run-heavy style?
Well, you're spot on in terms of the reliance on the ground game, but Air Force did move away from, when Troy took over, moved away from the flex bone that we were all used to seeing with Fisher. And you'll see a multiple formation backfield, everything from the power eye to, I mean, basically you name it, he goes into it, shotgun, the whole nine yards. Very difficult for defenses to figure out what they're going to do out of that, although fundamentally, if you really look at it, it basically out of those formations, they are running a basic set of attacks. So what I think you'll see this year, and you've already hit on it, is a return, not all the way, but a significant amount of true triple option attack, which we have not. That has been probably the lowest percentage that we saw over the course of Calhoun's time at Air Force.
Now, leading this triple option, we've got the quarterback position, which we have. It appears that Nate Romine looks to be the starter, but I think that there's two other quarterbacks who could easily compete for his job that are listed here: Carson Roberts and Cale Pearson, who was injured last year. I guess the last time he played was in 2012. Are any of those other two quarterbacks any threat to compete for the starting position for Romine's job?
Well, Nate's a fine is a you know stepped into the breach last year. As you guys well know, we watched unfortunately, and I have to give an admitted bias here, so that you're aware of it. Cale is my sponsor's son here at the Air Force Academy. So again, that just simply means that my family acts as a surrogate family to him while he's at the academy. So I have a degree of bias, admitted bias there. But Nate did a tremendous job after, we went through, three quarterbacks? You had Cale go down against Colgate in the first game. You then had Aweini come in, tremendous athlete, kind of that something you don't normally see at Air Force, a big body quarterback. More in the model of a Mike Thiessen, 6'1", maybe even 6'2", big, powerful kid. And then he got wrapped up in some issues academically and on honor, which is a big part, obviously, of the Academy Foundation, and was no longer eligible in good standing to play. Then you had Carson Roberts come in and give a real solid performance. And what happened was that I think Troy wanted a little bit better passing attack. Carson didn't have it, and you saw Nate Romine come in against Navy, basically cleanup duty, but you saw what he was capable of. And then Nate took over and ran the offense fairly well, threw the ball real well. He is not a prototypical triple option quarterback. Yet, if you're comparing who that is, Carson Roberts is definitively better than Romine running the option. He's a Texas football product, and he ran the option in high school. Pearson comes out of Union High School in Oklahoma, one of the story programs out of Oklahoma, and actually was a wide receiver through a lot of his career there, and then became a quarterback his senior season and tore it up and won a state championship. So out of those three guys, yeah, Nate was you would think he would be the forerunner, but during spring ball he was up and down. And, you know, he had been fed the playbook during the course of his freshman season, and rightfully so, through an eyedropper. Come spring, he gets hit with a fire hose, and you could see him struggling. And he was struggling with the adaptation of the amount of triple option that was put in to play in the spring. Roberts rose to the occasion, and ironically enough, he's not going to. I don't think he'll be playing quarterback. But Colton Huntsman, who broke a bunch of records down in Houston in high school, and ran the triple option in high school, who's a Z, was brought up for duty to play quarterback during the spring. He probably ran the option better than any of them. Pearson, amazing recovery from his injury. He will be 100%. He's already done some incredible stuff in testing out. He ran a 4.1 shuttle. Last year he posted hand-timed 4.3, low 4.3. Probably kind of equates out to a 4.4 electronically timed. Those are posted. Those aren't pie-in-the-sky numbers. So he is a tremendous athlete. I would say that unless Troy decides to make a move in which he wants to keep a younger guy, or put a younger guy in a position to take over the offense for the next couple of years, you'll see and moves Kale out to a Z position. I think you'll see Kale Pearson will be the starting quarterback for Air Force this year.
So with that, because every quarterback you play, they seem to do reasonably well. There's obviously some are better than others. There's struggles just because, like you said, here's the playbook. You can run with it and hope you can do it in game 7 or 8 for the various guys. I don't remember the order when players came in. They played so many. Is there going to be – do you think there could be an issue of saying, since everybody has some sort of experience from last year, would anybody have a short leash? Just say, just let the guy who's a starter, let it play out like he's a starter. Let him – if he messes up, that's fine. It's okay, and let him keep going. Do you think Bill Calhoun will be patient, since he knows he has all these guys who have experience, or you screw up, you're out for the series or something? Do you get any opinion on that?
Well, yeah, I do. What I'll tell you is that as a senior, Kale Pearson, as a junior or as a sophomore, actually, I'll go back to your sophomore here. Pearson's grasp of game is absolutely phenomenal. His dad's the offensive coordinator for Union High School, Preston Pearson, outstanding football coach. He grew up with the coach as a dad, so he's one of those guys that assimilates the program really, really quickly. There's not a quarterback on the team right now that knows the system better than Kale Pearson. Now, that being said, he's also been out. One game, a quarter of a game, or whatever it was last year. He's going to be rusty, and he's going to have to, really step up in fall ball. I think he'll be pressed really hard by both Romine and Roberts, but at the end of the day, I think you got to go with the senior that understands him better than anybody. And in terms of athletic ability, the reality is a healthy Kale Pearson, the other two quarterbacks can't touch him in terms of speed, just overall athletic ability. And although you haven't seen it in the stats that Kale has, I think you will notice very quickly that he is a very accurate and can be very deadly throwing the ball.
So, that's pretty awesome considering that the quarterback situation should be back and set again. But go back to the triple option, and not only is the quarterback important and the mobile quarterback, but the running back. So last year you had Anthony Lacoste, who was one of the most prolific running backs in the Mountain West last year. And we saw a little bit of John Lee. Is John Lee going to take over that main running back position? And if that's the case, then who's going to basically stand behind him as running back number two or 1B, rather?
It's a really good question. And the question mark on John Lee is, can John Lee stay healthy? Can John Lee maintain the academic standing so that he can play? And the third thing is can John Lee hold on to the football? You know, part of his biggest knock has been his inability to hold on to the rock. Now, Air Force improved dramatically last year. That was one of the positive things that they did do offensively was they weren't coughing up the ball. John Lee has not been durable. Which Coach Calhoun is emphasizing very heavily this year. John's a tremendous athlete, incredibly gifted athlete. If you guys stood next to him, you'd say this guy plays at Notre Dame or whatever. He looks that way. But he has got to really step up as a leader. He's got to step up in terms of just being eligible. The ability to be on the field. If he does, he has an opportunity to do some special things this year, last year. But he again will be challenged. There's a young guy named Devin Rushman, and Devin was throughout spring was starting, and I would look at Devin. As being, he became a better downhill runner during the spring. He was more of a guy that would, make you miss. Good lateral movement, but I saw a change in him over the spring. He definitely liked contact and liked running through people. So I would go. The top two are going to be Devin Rushman, John Lee. And actually, I don't know if he'll be moved away from fullback, but DJ Johnson is a specimen. I mean, he's a flat-out specimen of a back. Right now, he's playing fullback, but I would be looking for him possibly to get into the mix too at running back.
So with the running backs there, because it always seems to be. They've run so many guys out there, like Lasha Lacoste, Lee, when he was healthy out there. Assuming, it sounds like what you're saying, if Lee's going to be the main guy, do they have the depth to have, Lee runs 15 times, this next guy runs 8, all these other guys, you have 5 other guys who do 5 carries a game. Are they going to resort to that? Or if Lee's healthy, he'll be the guy to get majority of the carries, and then you may have a backup, and then just a few other guys here and there. Is that the plan for this year to actually have the main guy and then a backup and then kind of a handoff here or there for the rest?
Yeah, I think that you make a good point. You make another good point. What you will – I think Troy would like to go to that and I'm repeating myself here, but a go-to guy, a guy that he can have run the majority of plays. You got to take into consideration, though, there's going to be a bit of a change here. If what we saw in the spring stays true, you're going to see a lot of pullback. And so it will be a true triple option distribution of the ball in the running game.
So one of Air Force's biggest problems last year was the defense. And it wasn't that the defense was bad, it's just they seemed to be outmanned and there was no depth to the defense. So kind of give us an overview of what will be Air Force's strength this year in terms of defense. Will it be the line? Will it be the cornerbacks? you know, who's going to take over? Who's going to be really the leader of the defense? Who's going to take over this defensive core?
The Alex Hansen, perhaps?
Well, let me first say that I respectfully disagree with you as far as Air Force defense went last year. The Air Force defense last year was absolutely was pathetic. I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. There were times where you could see a hint of something that could be pretty good. But I think that's not necessarily just a knock on the players. There were a lot of young guys, especially on the defensive line. And there were a lot of injuries along the line, especially at nose guard. But frankly, I don't think there was a belief that the system that they were running was working, and therefore, when you have players that aren't believing in the system, the whole thing falls apart. I think there's been a dynamic change. There's been the change of defensive coordinator. Charlton Horn moved on to Nebraska, and I think he'll do great things there. And what he's doing with Nebraska, but now you've got Steve Russ running the. I mean, he's the man now. It's his defense. He owns it. That change took place. He actually took over right after the Navy game. Last year, but it was a weird situation for him, and you still had this leftover. He can't really control the defense the way he wants to. So now it's his. And Troy made a bold move. I mean, he brought in two new coaches, Coach Vanderlinden from Penn State, legendary coach. Coach Paterno was with Gary Barnett at Northwestern. It helped Barnett capture that Big Ten title. Fantastic football mind. So you've got him in the mix. You've got Coach Cross, who just came up from University of Texas. Actually was at Texas, was a strength and conditioning coach there, but has a tremendous background at defensive line. And what you saw this spring is a completely, completely different defense, a completely different attitude. I've talked to players. They are incredibly excited to be playing in this defense. And they actually dominated this spring. I've never seen an Air Force defense dominate in the springtime. And I thought that they did a really good job. The strengths, to answer your question about strength, the defense will be the line. I think you're going to have some great depth there. You're going to have Harris back, Green back. Troy Timmerman looks absolutely fantastic. Great big powerful kid. Nick Fitzgerald. So there's actually some depth, which is unusual for Air Force line.
Yeah, with the defense overall, we get there's the restrictions of the height, weight, stuff. We see their defense at times, not the past year, but years before, been okay because they got some speed because they got the smaller linebacker, smaller D-line. How do they expect to stop not that many teams in Mountain West will do a heavy run up the middle with their fullback, but how do they really expect to stop any decent running game with those restrictions? You got a nose guard at, 250 at best? How do they get around that to slow down a running team?
Well, the answer to that is that, Troy said it numerous times, we got to get bigger. We're getting dominated on the defensive line. So this year you're gonna see, Timmerman is probably – 270 nose guard, which for Air Force is pretty good. You don't often see anybody about at that size at that position. I think you'll across the board you'll see they'll be able to rotate some guys in with some size, and you'll see specialty players. I look at like Green is a great speed guy. He's going to be about, he's going to play about 245, but he's got tremendous speed and really tremendous strength. Nick Fitzgerald's a big, you know, big body, he's a big kid. He's, you know, Air Force. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
A, you know, he's a 270N. But what you're seeing is the transition to large defensive linemen. Two kids coming up from the prep school, the Air Force prep school, of note are Cody Moorhead from Seattle, Washington, and Santo Coppola from Santa Fe, New Mexico, both dressing out at least 280, if not 290. I know Coppola was timed in the 40, running a 4.9 at about 280, 285. These are big, powerful, quick young men. I don't know how much playing time they'll see this year, but if Coach Russ and Coach Cross have to dip into the pool a little bit, they've got some big boys coming up, and Navy is, I'll tell you, Navy's got that model. Navy is running right now, and they have been for the last several years. Nia Mahalolo has had 300-pound nose guards, so it can be done. It's not impossible.
Excellent. So let's take a look at what will be the ultimate crunch of Air Force football this year, the schedule. So we have actually a fairly good non-conference schedule. And then it seems that you've got a good mix of difficult teams on the road and at home within conference play. So let's go to a quick overview of the schedule. So it feels like your first challenge will be with a possibly resurgent Wyoming team under Craig Bull September 6th. How do Air Force fans feel in particular about Wyoming? Is it kind of like a regional rivalry like Colorado State, or is it something completely different?
You know, that rivalry is right up there with, I would rate it at number one higher than Colorado State. Yeah.
Hmm.
I think it is, to a degree, I don't want to say bad blood, but definitely when Christensen was there, it was bad blood.
Yes.
I was about to say, the Flyboys.
Yeah, that was that whole, that actually was the appearance of Cale Pearson at quarterback, and he did a tremendous job. But, you know, Wyoming is it's an absolute flat out. I don't care how bad both teams are. It's a brawl. I mean, it's a barroom brawl, and it'll be a huge test for Air Force right out of the bat. You're talking about you open up against Nicholls State, which is fine. Let's get that one double A game out of the way,
and the win,
and then you roll up to Wyoming. It was just announced today that game's going to be on national TV and played at 8 o'clock in the evening, Mountain Time. So it'll be an interesting stage to see what kind of pride Air Force has, because frankly, Wyoming came in here last year after the incident up in Wyoming the previous year and just put an ass whipping on Air Force. And I think there's some seniors that want to get a little payback, and it'll be a great game. I envision Wyoming with their new coach, who did such a fantastic job at North Dakota State, to be a good football team. I think there's some reality of changing over to a new system. So, that'll be a good gauge for you guys and fans to see where both teams are going to be. But I think Air Force can, no pie in the sky. I think Air Force can win that game, but it's on the leg of the field goal. I think it's a 3-point game.
Okay. And then here's what the rest of the schedule. We're going to kind of run through this a little bit here. they have a little break. Well, I don't know if it's a break. Well, it should be a break because it was last year. Not that you expected Georgia State. Should that be – let's just kind of do with some of these games we win-loss real quick. With that one, they're a new FBS team. It is on the road, but I'm assuming most people should say victory with no questions asked against Georgia State.
Well, there's not a victory, no questions asked on this schedule.
Well, good point, but I just figured.
You know, when you play as poorly as they did last year, you know, Nicholls State looks like Michigan.
watch them now, because Michigan lost to Appalachian State. So,
yeah, well, I mean, I'm being realistic here.
Understandable.
And so. No, I don't think Georgia State's a guinea. I think our guys are really, really fired up just to be playing in the Georgia Dome. You know, I think you have to understand the psyche of where these guys are. They have a very bad taste in their mouth. I don't know if the right word is ashamed of what happened last year, but they certainly don't have a lot of bright, happy feelings about what went on, and they want to prove themselves. So, no, Georgia State, you open up against Nicholls, Wyoming, you're on the road to Georgia State. They potentially could come back home their bye week and be 3. They could be 3-0. I think that, you know, worst case scenario, they should be 2-1, and then it's on. I mean, you're facing Boise State, which, you know, obviously has had a transition in coaching staff, but we finally get Boise State at home. Air Force has played Boise State well in the first three quarters of the games that they played against them. I think they surprised Boise State a little bit, but then they got worn down and just couldn't complete it in the fourth quarter. I think that game, I don't look at Boise State and go, well, then that's just going to be a blowout. There's no way that we're going to win that.
Because I remember the first time they played, it's such a different offense. It was Boise State kind of struggled adapting. They don't – a team that rarely plays that run option, triple option, it's tough if you don't see it even every couple of years.
Well, here's the thing you got to think about, guys. Again, we have not really seen the triple option at all, the true triple option at Air Force since Troy Calhoun took over. You're going to see that. They're going to have to face that this year. And it's going to throw a lot of teams off. They're not going to like what they see. There'll be a different dynamic, and Boise's going to have to adapt to that. But you'll also see what Troy has been traditionally running too. So what, you know, when your defense steps up to the plate or up to the line, what are you really going to see? Because he's going to run all of that out of the formations that you guys have been seeing for the last 7 years. But all of a sudden, it's going to change. It's going to morph into the triple option. It's going to be a bear. And then the huge, you know, the biggest rivalry Air Force has, hands down. You know, we talk about Service Academy pride. We talk about, you know, the brotherhood of Service Academies. But Navy comes in, and it's
huge. Unless you've been to the game,
you don't understand it.
Yeah, I've been to a couple. I haven't been to that game, but I've been to big rival games like Texas A&M. I've been to Austin and College Station. That's pretty huge. But these games, I wish this one would get bigger credit. It's always Army-Navy, which is still big in its own right, but Army hasn't, outside of one year, a couple years ago, they've been pretty bad. I wish this particular game would get a bit more credit because the two teams are better than Army and Navy.
I think if you go back and you look at these games, they're incredibly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievably hard. I mean, just, it's like two heavyweight prize fighters. It's an old analogy, but that's exactly what it is. I mean, they're banging. And Navy should be favored when they come in here. They flat out should be favored. They've got an outstanding quarterback. They've got, you know, they're a mature team. They should be confident. And you know what? That doesn't mean anything to these folks. It flat out doesn't mean a thing. The reality is that they're going to get down and dirty with each other. And at the end, I will go back and I will say special teams wins this game. And it could be on the leg of Will Connett, Air Force's extremely talented place kicker.
Okay, so I have to ask this question. So what would be more of an accomplishment? Winning the Commander-in-Chief trophy or getting back to a bowl game? If you have to pick one or the other.
The number one goal of the Air Force football program has returned to beating Army and Navy and winning the Commander-in-Chief's trophy.
They could go 2-10, and as long as they beat Army and Navy, that's a good season.
You bet your ass.
Yes!
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Excellent stuff. You beat your rivals. It's like, I don't care if we go 1-1, whatever, but we beat our rival. That's what it's for. You're part of that Commander-in-Chief's trophy from beginning, and it's a big deal, man. Like we said, Army kind of hasn't been the best for the most part of the years, but when they play Navy, it's typically sell out Philadelphia or Baltimore, wherever it's played. Everybody's there to watch that game because they know how big a deal it is.
So without a doubt, it's great, and I give a lot of credit to the Navy program, their athletic director, their coach. Tremendous program, but I will tell you, mark my word, Army just acquired a former Navy coach, and Army's going to be a different football team over the next couple of years.
All right, let's kind of run through the rest of these really quick because we actually have a sort of a time limit here, and you've been giving us so much stuff, more than what me and Chris could do screwing around by ourselves by reading what we do here. So let's go to the last couple of games. Like, out of the last half, you got New Mexico, Army, UNLV. Is that a stretch where they can maybe rebound from because Boise and Navy does it's pretty tough? Do you think that's maybe they could sweep those three games and maybe – I think those three could be the most important stretch of getting back to a bowl game.
Yeah, no, I think there's a run there at the end that you can see the ability for Air Force to – become bowl eligible, but remember they still got to go to they have to go up and play Utah State, and that wasn't real pretty last year. I think Utah State will be they'll have another good football team this year. They got to play San Diego State, who will be Rocky Long will have a solid team. But I think, again, if Air Force can improve on defense, and that, that's not saying much because of how pathetic they were last year, but if you can see that and that develops and they get better through the year or through the season, I think you beat UNLV. I think you, although UNLV's had Air Force's number the last 2 years. New Mexico, Bob Davies going to, he's got something going on down there. He needs to build a defense, but that'll be a tough game, but that's winnable. So at the end of the day, I think Air Force has a legitimate shot at, at an 8-win season, which would be an unbelievable. I mean, it would be unbelievable. It would be fantastic. You gotta gauge it fairly early. I think you'll start to see where this team is going to be. Probably, without a doubt, by Boise, you'll know if they're moving in the right direction.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, an 8-win season would be a huge success this year, but what does the realist say? What do you think Air Force will actually go this year? Well, what will be their final record?
Well, you know, again, I'm saying to you, I think realistically they can win 8 games.
But will they?
Now,
but what, can they get that? Because last year they're kind of frustrated. Like, okay, they beat this team. They play close. Like the San Diego State game, they had a very good chance to win that game last year. They did not. They were close last year. I'm assuming. I don't. 8 wins, just it's a big difference. That's why I'm curious. I know you like
no,
the team.
I hear you.
It's just a big jump,
hear.
And I don't know if they could do it, in my opinion. I think they could be close, but 8 seems a little high for me, I think. I think they get to 6, but 8 seems a little bit too much for me, I think.
I think 8 is probably high in the opinion of most Air Force fans. And they would say that I'm wearing my blue-colored, you know, goggles.
And that's perfectly fine. It's excellent. We do that all the time here, too, with our teams.
but here's what I will tell you. This is the difference in my assessment. And this is just being a realist. I have the opportunity on a regular basis to interact with these young men. I'm telling you, they're going to come out on fire. They're pissed off. They have something to prove. And that, when you say Air Force is going to be a 6-win season, have a 6-win season, that's when they come out and win 9. When you say they're going to be, and when you say they're going to be have a 10-win season, that's when they buy it and they're 2-10.
They're only beating Army and Navy.
Yeah, of course.
You guys, you're see, I'm converting you to Air Force fans.
Oh, we like the Falcons. If they get 8 wins, obviously that's it. Boom of a season. They go to a bowl game. Excellent. I think they're going to go to a bowl game. Chris, really quick, because we do got to finish up. Well, do you think they're going to get to the 6-win mark this year?
I don't think this year. I think next year will be more in reality. I think
okay.
They'll probably end up going 4-8 or 5-7 this year.
Okay, we'll see. I because people have already been saying Air Force to a bowl game. Like CBS put their early rankings out in there, and I forget which one, but they're in a bowl game. But I wish we had more time. I do. Hey, Mike, this has been amazing. You've much more information than we could ever have. I wanted to ask you a bunch of other stuff about being a host family, because that sounds very interesting to talk about how that works out. We will definitely want to have you on again. I'm going to email you after this, maybe work on some other things. But thanks a ton for joining us. And this is a great start for
preview. I do have one final question.
Oh, okay. Let Chris wrap it up. One more question. Here.
One final question. If you were to choose a game to go to this year as an Air Force home game, which one would you go to?
Hands down, Navy.
All right. I'll start looking at that October 4th for flights to Colorado.
You guys come out. You can come to our. We have the best. We have the best tailgate west of the Mississippi. It's called Floodgate. You come out and we'll host you.
Excellent. Chris is looking to go to a bunch of games this year, so maybe I've got a few that I plan going to, but we're probably ask everybody what's the best home game to go to, and that clearly the best one on there for, especially being the rival, it's amazing. So, Chris, we'll try to make it. Who knows? Maybe. I'll discuss my stuff later. That's probably not going to happen for other stuff I do. But once you definitely, Mike. Thank you so much for hopping on with us. I'm going to email you after this. We'll have you on to talk about some other stuff because this seems like you got all the cool stuff to talk about, but. I'm so glad Rick put us together today and you're able to join us. And let's hope Air Force goes to the bowl game. And, that's all I got.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for joining me. I'll shoot you an email when we're done here, okay, man? Thank you so much. Thanks, man. Oh, sorry, I cut him off earlier. That's amazing. If our rest of these are like this, we're done. Perfect.
I know. This was fantastic just because we got a completely new angle, especially with, like a host family, you know, sponsor family. I mean, that's amazing what these families and what this community does for their players.
Definitely.
That shows just more than a sense. I mean, that really does just show not only a sense of community, but a sense of family. It really is something that what I've noticed maybe living on the West Coast all my life, it really is something within the Mountain West region, and I'm not talking about just the football conference region or the, you know, the athletic conference region, but the geographical region in general. When I was in Boise, people were always that way, always kind of taking you in, shaking your hand, just that general friendliness. And
that's
it seems like people at Air Force are exactly the same way.
Yeah, it's about here to, like, BYU there with the church affiliation. Everybody's super nice. Everybody's great. They walk around, say hi to everybody. It's always a cool, pretty good environment, stuff like that. Even University of Utah, everywhere, a lot of places do that. But I have so much more I wanted to ask them because, like I said, the host family with – it was one of the quarterbacks, Nate Romine, correct? Is that who he said?
Cal Pearson.
Cal Pearson?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. We're so many quarterbacks trying to keep track, but I want to have him on again. I'm going to reach and maybe have him write something for us, perhaps, if he wants to. His family's part of the starting the Commander-in-Chief trophy. It's amazing. So
yeah, there's,
this is great.
There's just tons of history that we don't know about Air Force football, and he seems to know about it.
Oh, we're definitely repeat. He'll be on down the road again. Maybe during season, or especially off-season stuff, next off-season. Yeah, thank you again to Rick, who's he writes a bunch of Air Force stuff as well over at Rick's Falcons. Rick's
Air Force basketball.
Yeah, so being 8 wins, that's pretty optimistic. That's tough. It's tough to say it's 8 wins, but I think 6. I think, really quick, they'll get Nicholls State, Georgia State. I think they'll get Wyoming, New Mexico, Army, and UNLV, they'll get the 6 that way, I think, and maybe Nevada. But it'll be tough. I think they can do it because if they have John Lee, who can be the guy, and if the defense with new coordinator there steps up and actually get – if they can get guys bigger, that's the key to get to the get the bowl eligibility. Do you have any other things to
absolutely.
Add to the show about your – since you're the one who's apparently down on this team, come on.
Well, and the reason why, honestly, the reason why I'm down on this team is
sense.
Because I'm high on Wyoming.
There you go.
That's really the only reason.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, so we do have to wrap this up. We're taking the. I should have made the show longer than an hour, but we'll definitely revisit our mic here down the road. Make sure to check out MWCConnection.com. We'll be doing podcasts about twice a week, at least once a week, previewing alphabetical order. Next week we'll have Boise State, Colorado State, and so on. And we'll try to bring on a guest either during the preview or we'll bring up like a big guest, like Boise State plays Ole Miss. We may bring on one of the guys from Red Cup Rebellion or somebody who covers Ole Miss to talk about one of the big games throughout the year. So definitely do that. Again, MWCConnection.com. Thanks for Mike for joining us tonight. Chris, have a good evening, and we will chat with everybody next episode.
Bye.